Welcome to Be All You Are, a midlife awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Hello, my beautiful friends. Happy New Year. I know you're not supposed to say that so late into the month, but the way I feel, if I haven't seen you, if we haven't spoken, and it's still January, I am going to wish you Happy New Year. So Happy New Year. I just got back from a 3.5 week visit to India, and I spoke with you about this trip before I left in the last episode that dropped in December, but it was a really incredible journey. And I'm still getting over jet lag. I'm still getting over a mild cold I picked up on my way home and processing it all. But I can't wait to share more about my experiences there, about what I learned, about some of the insights that came to me while I was there and even since I've returned. I really hope that you are all well and feeling hopeful, excited, light about the year that's to come. And, you know, I think at any moment, any day, any hour, we can choose to start again. We can choose to begin again. But there is something beautiful about a new calendar year to put us into that energy of visioning and creating and allowing ourselves to dream. So I hope that you have spent some time doing that. And if not, it's never too late. I am excited to share with you today a live session that I hosted inside my community membership, Supernova, the membership for women over the age of 35 who are ready to step into their next era. And we gathered together today, as you listen to this episode, it's Wednesday, we gathered together starting on Monday for a live session every single day this week within the community to help kick off our year together. So on Monday, that's the session you're going to listen to today. I shared some of the insights that I received or learned when I was in India. And it was a lively discussion. And I wanted to give you, honestly, a sneak peek into what happens inside Supernova so that you understand the quality of the relationships that are created, the quality of the conversations, the authenticity that all the women who say yes to this community, what they bring to the to bring and co-create this community with me. Frankly, I had the idea for it. I feel like it came through me, and I'm the facilitator and in some instances the guide. But there would be no community without all the incredible women who are inside. And there are now 62 women inside Supernova, and you'll hear some of their voices today. And so let's dive in. Just tune in, listen to this conversation. I would love to hear from you. what comes up for you as we explore some of the questions around our femininity and the beliefs that were passed down from our grandmothers, and really trying to understand their experience and how far we've come, but also the fact that it wasn't that long ago that our grandmothers had way fewer options and way less freedom than we do. But at the same time, acknowledging that we may be able to go for the CEO role, and we may be able to, as I mentioned in this session, now get our own credit cards. But there's a difference between knowing that and feeling that. And I think that is where we still have work to do. So tune in to this week's episode, and I'm gonna hop on at the end. I really want you to check out Supernova. If you go to the show notes, you'll see a link to learn more. You can learn more, you can apply, and we'll go from there. I can't wait to have you. I wanted to welcome everyone for the first session of 2025. There are some new members who have joined us since we last came together. So welcome to all of you, and welcome to some special guests who are here today too. And today is the first session of a week of very intentionally created sessions. And I've called this week year one because I sort of wanted to create this vibe of us all together stepping into our next era. And this is year one of our next era. And this is like the first year of Supernova, you know, calendar year from January to December. So I'm feeling really excited about us doing this together and not feeling like we're alone on the journey. Everyone has different goals and dreams and visions, and some may be very clear and some may be unclear, and we're in a period of exploration. But wherever we are, we're doing it together. And so I'm excited for this week. There's so much to come. As you know, I was in India. I was in India for 3.5 weeks. It feels like I was gone for months because I can't remember the last time I took that much time away. And I think before I left on this trip, I was sharing with you all that I was ready. I was ready for what India had to teach me, what India had to share with me. But like, you know, having said that, it means that I went in with some sort of expectations. Like I was going to get like these messages from like the goddess herself, I say, right? Like these divine messages. And that's not usually how it works, right? It doesn't work that way. It works with like getting over jet lag and getting adjusted to a new culture and being around your family 24/7, surrounded by your children and nowhere to go. And so I think for me, part of the surrender was let this be what it is meant to be. You know, like don't try to create some sort of expectation around what I will get out of this trip or what I want to get out of this trip, and instead just surrender to what it is. And one of the themes we're going to be talking about today is just to ask myself over and over again, what is being asked of me in this moment? Like anytime I felt sort of resistance to what was happening, to ask myself that. So that's going to be something that's going to come up today. And what I wanted to do today was share 4 insights that I did receive while I was in India. And it's funny because I think I'm only really just starting to integrate or to understand some of what I learned and what I want to share in the coming months. But these 4 things were really clear to me. I just jotted them down really quickly, and I just felt like they're universal insights that will support all of us on our individual and collective journey. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. But I wanted to quickly recap for you what's happening this week. So today we have our session today with me. Tomorrow we have vision casting with Nina Taylor, who is on our Wisdom Council. And she is going to be hosting this beautiful session to help you create or imagine that beautiful vision for this coming year. And it does include some journal exercises, and it includes actually creating a vision board, which we won't have time to do tomorrow, but she'll guide you through how to do that. So I'll share more about that at the end of this call so that you're prepared for that. Then on Wednesday, we're hosting my friend Jack White. And Jack is, and she's actually a sales expert. And I thought this was like a really interesting topic to bring into this week, because regardless of whether you are an entrepreneur or not, one of the things that women especially have a hard time with is selling, right? We just have a hard time with selling a product. Selling ourselves is even harder. And so I love that Jack's workshop topic is doing uncomfortable things, because I think like top of the list of doing uncomfortable things is selling. And I think that if we could, and Jack agrees with this, if we could unlock for us what it means to sell in an authentic way that doesn't feel gross, we would literally be unlocking superpowers. So that's what's happening on Wednesday. On Thursday, our very own member, Erin Binns, who is on this call, is going to be hosting a session on mastering your time and energy. And she's all about simplifying and like really looking at all the things we feel we have to do versus what we want to do versus what we think we should be doing, and clearing out the clutter. And she's going to lead us through a session on that. And then on Friday, Monique Bryan, who's also a member of Supernova, she's a personal branding expert. She is going to be hosting a workshop on how to design, create your personal brand, but also why it's important for everyone. And speaking of legacy, that was one of Kathy's words for 2025. Legacy, really, your brand is about your legacy. And when you invest in your brand, you're investing in your future, regardless of what you choose to do. So it's going to be a really incredible week. And what I want to do today with you, first of all, I need to apologize in advance that I'm a little bit jet lagged. And so if I like lose my words or my train of thought, that's why. It's like, it's not even perimenopause right now. It's jet lag. So we've been having these crazy nights of like falling asleep, like so sleepy, like you can't keep your eyes open at 8 o'clock and then you're awake at 4. So yeah, that's kind of where I am right now. I just wanted to make sure that I was transparent about that. Okay, so let's dive in. Before I went to India, I was invited to a group session with a medium. I know this is a very strange thing, but basically a good friend of mine said, I have a friend who's a medium. She felt called to host a group session. And so I'm, you know, pulling together a few women to come to the session. And I wasn't sure if the timing was going to work out, but it ended up working out. And I ended up being the first person to have a reading with this medium. And one of the things that I, you know, want to preface this as I'm speaking with all of you, some of you might just be like, yeah, of course, you had a reading with a medium. That sounds amazing. Some of you may be like, huh, interesting. Like, do you really believe in that? You know, I know that there's probably a range of responses when I share this. But the way that I have chosen to respond to things like this is just to be open to the possibility, right? Like you can go in with a cynical mind or you can go in with an open mind. And what will you receive if you choose to go in with an open mind? And so that's sort of the way that I approach these things. And the way I also look at it is that I'm being guided somehow. So whether the reading is, you know, a direct like message from somebody, you know, who's passed or not, I am being guided. And that's truly what I feel happened. So in this reading, this woman basically was receiving messages from my maternal grandmother. And this was like weeks leading up, 2 weeks maybe before leaving for India. And, you know, I hadn't thought about my grandmother in a long time. It was kind of like interesting that she brought her up in particular. And what that did, what that really brought forward with me was this curiosity to learn more about my grandmother when I was in India. And, you know, I grew up here in Canada. My grandparents never left India. They came to visit us once, but they never left India. And so my only interactions with my grandmother was when I was in India. So now, 11 years later, I'm going back to India, to the place where I slowly built a relationship with my grandmother. And so it was very fitting to now, a few weeks later, be going back there and have the opportunity to learn more about her. And so what I ended up doing was asking my mom more questions about my grandmother, right? Like wanting to understand what her life was like. What was she like? What was her personality like? What hardships did she overcome? What freedoms did she have? What choices was she able to make? And my mom, and then I also like saw pictures of her, right, when she was young, and so that I could really visualize the life my grandmother had. And my mom shared, you know, some stories about how my grandmother's mother passed away when she was 7 years old. So she didn't have a mother past the age of seven. You know, my daughter's now eight. So it just sort of gives you some context to what my grandmother might have experienced. Her siblings were all older brothers. So she was really off on her own. Then she got married to my grandfather, and they had a love marriage, which was not typical in India at those times. It was very much about arranged marriages, but she had a love marriage. But she went into a family where my grandfather had many sisters, and those sisters were not kind to her. So, you know, she spent a lot of time kind of on her own, taking care of other people. And my mom said that my grandmother had very little freedom. She had very little freedom. She shared that when she needed new saris to wear, my grandfather would go with her and choose the saris for her. And when, you know, she wanted to go visit with a women's circle in another like flat nearby, she could go, but he would be upset if she wasn't back in time to make his tea. And I'm not blaming my grandfather here. He was actually a wonderful grandfather to us. But just to understand that my grandmother had very little freedom. And what this medium shared with me before I went on this trip to India was that my grandmother was telling me that she is amazed by how much freedom I now have and that I am now passing on to my daughter. And she cannot believe that in just a few decades that, you know, I have the choices that I'm able to make and that I can live the way I want to live, when she couldn't choose her own saris and she couldn't express herself freely. And I'm now able to do that. And so one of the insights that I wanted to share with you from all this is to learn more about your grandmother. Right? Like grandmothers, because I think that there is so much context that is lost when we just like stay focused on where we are today and we don't look back and see how our mothers and our grandmothers, what was available to them, what kind of hardships they had to overcome. And, you know, it was interesting because as I talked to my mother about this, she said that my grandmother, who I always thought was introverted, and I think she was, but she said that she wasn't just introverted. She just took it all, right? Like if my grandfather was upset, she just took it all. She just cried quietly and she never expressed what she felt. And so my mom, I think to counteract that, as she started to get more freedoms and was able to make her own choices, she started to push back on people and be a little bit more vocal. And that wasn't always well received, but my mom was learning from my grandmother and thinking, I don't want to be like that. I want to speak up for myself. And so I think it's so interesting for us to look at our grandmothers and think about, you know, where they were and how far we've come, but also to realize that that was only a few decades ago, that, you know, we couldn't choose our own clothes in this instance. And so that's kind of where I wanted to, like, you know, begin. And I actually wanted to give you all a chance to connect on this and to share what you know about your grandmother, even if it's just a little bit. I would love to hear how that felt for all of you. Like, had you thought about your grandmother recently? Maybe your grandmother is in your life. Maybe she's not. Maybe you never met her. You know, I'm curious. I'd love to hear from a couple of you, whoever feels comfortable sharing or wants to share, I should say.
I'm happy to share, Kana, if
I love that, Allison.
And I think this was a theme in our chat, so maybe others can relate to this. We were talking about whether we were focused on maternal or paternal grandmothers, mm-hmm. and I was fortunate enough to know both my grandmothers really well, but we only had so much time, so focused on the one that I was closest with, my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like fifth generation Canadian, which is actually quite unusual, right?
Yeah.
And my grandfather and my grandmother met, and she, you know, he was a very attractive man, very charming. But then he went to war, and he was in the Merchant Marines and was torpedoed in the war, and his boat sank, but he survived. But you can imagine, when people came back from World War II, how much trauma they had, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so whether that caused his alcoholism or not, yeah. It also ran in his family. My grandmother had a few babies during the war, and my father was born. She had her first during the war, but my father was born shortly after. But my grandfather was an alcoholic, and my grandmother continued to have babies with him, had five.
Wow.
And, but he, you know, the stories, he worked in the shipyards in Collingwood and would drink away his salary every time he was paid. And she was struggling to keep, you know, all these children, you know, fed and moved in with their mother, with the kids. And eventually she did leave him.
Mm-hmm.
And I never met him because I was only two when he passed away.
Okay.
So the net of it, though, is I think this is the theme. He was constantly fascinated. What are you learning at university? I took engineering. I did my MBA with Kana. Yeah. What are you learning at university? She called me every week. She'd ask me all kinds of questions. She had many, many grandchildren because my dad is one of five. But she had this intense curiosity about her. And she died when my first son was born, so almost 18 years ago, and also throughout the pregnancy. How are you feeling? What, you know, so excited about this baby, even though she already had many great-grandchildren as well. So just like this notion of the trapping, yeah. You know, these amazingly talented women. And it's funny, I was saying she taught me all kinds of things that I would never have learned, like crocheting. Here's the remnants of my Christmas ornaments that I didn't fully finish, but like taught me how to crochet, how to knit, very artistic that side. My dad is also an artist. And there's just so many remnants of her in me.
Yeah.
And the warmth. Right.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I thank you, Allison, for sharing. And I feel like all of you probably have, you know, stories maybe similar to that or maybe different, you know, but just, I think the theme there is that strength, right? And also the word you used was trapping. And, you know, there's sort of like this sense of like, well, she maybe didn't realize what she was missing, right? But we know it. We know what our freedoms are. We know what we have the agency to choose and to go in this direction or that direction. And like for us to know that is a heightened level of awareness that for me feels like a responsibility, right? Like, what do we do with that freedom? that they didn't have, right? That we now have. And, you know, it's funny because I feel like our grandmothers, a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them were in survival mode, right? They were just surviving in a way. And then our mothers maybe were able to dabble with more freedom. Like my mom has a PhD and, you know, she was able to talk back and you know, say things and stand up for herself. But still, it was like not fully there. Now we have more freedoms. Like, you know, we can become CEOs and we can get the titles and do the things, but have we fully been able to shed those trappings, right? And I think that's part of what I feel is so important as a collective that we do together, that we bring awareness to the fact that it was just a few decades ago that we felt that way, that we were trapped in so many ways. I see a few more hands up. Peggy?
Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. And thank you for that question. Actually, it really made me think because one of my grandmother passed way before I was born. So obviously, I don't know anything about her. But not obviously, but I don't know her. But the second one, my grandmother, mothers on my father's side passed when I was 12, so I knew her a little bit. But you know, maybe it's the very Catholic environment I grew up with. Girls were worthless, so the only interest was in the boys of the family, the boy grandchildren. So, and again, it is a different type of unfortunate conditioning when you can't even see, unfortunately, the value in a woman, which means yourself as a grandmother, that the only interest you have was in boys. And I have to say, it has really impacted me. And, you know, I was listening to the people I was in the breakout room, and it was interesting to hear about their grandmother, interested, supportive, calling them. I was like, oh my God, I never even thought that could have been an experience, you know? And that has definitely impacted me with, and I was discussing with Layla last week about that perspective that women were very second-rate citizen in my family. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So just bringing awareness to that fact, Peggy, and like, it almost like gives you a little bit of an understanding, a heightened level of understanding of, okay, you know, these, because I think we sometimes can beat ourselves up over our limiting beliefs, right? We can sort of be like, well, why can't I just break free from this limiting belief? But it is something that's been passed down to us. And so I feel like when we can understand where it comes from, then we can be gentler with ourselves. And also we can address it in a new way. Thank you so much for sharing. Heather?
Hi, I was just going to, I guess, follow up on what has been said before, just in terms of how times have changed so much for girls and women growing up. The grandmother I didn't have a chance to discuss with my group was, I guess, born in Canada a few generations in. I think her grandparents or great-grandparents came over from England a while back. So what was interesting is that she was very smart. She graduated from high school at 16. Mm-hmm. And she married my grandfather and had my mom when she was about 24. My grandfather's family, like, he had been raised in a family that had some means, but he was an only child and his father was killed in a plane accident when he was 16. Mm-hmm. And it was like they went from being quite comfortable to hard times. Mm-hmm. And so I remember they always said, we didn't have a wedding reception. We just got married in the church and then we got to work. And my grandmother's friends couldn't believe she was working outside of the home with kids at home and, you know, all these sorts of things. So my grandfather, they started a business in restaurant supplies and my grandmother was really the brains of the business. Yeah. Like my grandfather would have fallen flat without her. And yet, you know, he was the face of the business, the one who shook hands and all of, you know, all the men go for their, you know, talks without the ladies and all that. But my grandmother was really the one who got it. And so I see that in my own mom in that she's very smart as well. She's the first to be university educated. And she had to convince my grandfather that she should go to university, because what if something happened to her husband when she, you know, got older and married and all of this? And so then I talked to my mom about that more recently, and she's like, yeah, I had to say it, but it was a load of crap. Like, I couldn't believe it. She's like, I can't believe I had to actually say that. But
yeah,
so it's, you know, my mom has been very family focused and had the secondary career between my parents. But yeah, I just, she's very quiet, like behind the scenes, like my grandmother would have been.
Yeah.
It's just sort of interesting understanding. And like, my grandmother was raised in, or grew up in, the Great Depression. And that really influenced my mom's behavior too. Like, you don't waste anything.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. See, I think this is really powerful for each of us to like look at those stories, because I think we accept certain, again, that term limiting beliefs, we accept these things and we don't question, where did it come from? Why do I feel this way? Right. And when we can understand where they come from and see the, like, the, you know, the links back, then it starts to make sense. And you can also, we can also start to choose what we want to lay, put down. Like, we can lay it down. We can say, okay, my mom, my grandmother, they needed to respond in this way. They had to, you know, these beliefs supported them in where they were. And I don't need that anymore, you know? And then also, with the freedom we have now, with the options we have now, how can I lead for, you know, how can I lead for my community? How can I lead for future generations, the next generations of men and women, you know? So that's something like I would love for you all to, or I want to invite you all to reflect on more, is that relationship, of, you know, where your grandparents and your grandmother specifically, came from, and what were their lives like? What were their options? But I want to keep going. I'm realizing that this is like a very sort of potent topic for all of us. And so I feel like I have like four insights to share, and I think I may only get to two today, but that's okay. You know, I want this to sort of take a life of its own. But I do think that the second insight that I want to share, it does play very beautifully from what we just talked about. So while we were in India, we actually took a family trip to a province called Goa. And it's a beautiful, it's like along the sea. So we were staying at a beach resort and it was gorgeous. And it was kind of like a nice reprieve for my mom too, because we were staying in her flat while we were in Pune, the city that we went to visit. So when on this trip to Goa, we went to visit an ancient temple. And this temple is dedicated to the goddess called Shantadurga. That's the name of this goddess. And the goddess Shantadurga, this beautiful temple, is constructed in her honor, and she is meant to be a symbol of powerful and compassionate leadership. And the legend goes in Indian mythology that there were two gods. One was named Lord Vishnu, and the other one is Lord Shiva. They were locked in a destructive battle. And so, you know, they're like, these gods who are ruling the world and different parts of the world, different aspects of the world. And they were locked in a destructive battle. And it was goddess Shantadurga who stepped in to mediate. And with her calm yet commanding presence, and I think when we think about our mothers and maybe our grandmothers, this might sort of resonate, right? This calm yet commanding presence, she brought peace between these two unstoppable forces, restoring harmony to the universe. This is the story. And the symbolism of this story and of this goddess is that she reminds us of the profound power in feminine energy, the ability to nurture, lead, and bring about transformation. So the second insight that really came to me in India is I believe that it is time for us to reclaim that power that we lost over the centuries. So in the beginning, right, like in the beginning of humanity, there was an honoring of masculine and feminine. there was this understanding that it takes the intertwining of these two beautiful, strong forces to create a balanced world and a beautiful world. And for whatever reasons, and I know there's like many people who have done tons of research and to understand, you know, how history played out and why the balance was thrown off. So I won't get into that, but for hundreds of years, we've been fighting for that balance back. But I think the interesting thing is to say that we've been fighting for it back because at one point it existed, right? Like even in these temples and in Indian mythology, there is like this reverence for the feminine masculine and bringing those energies together and how important they are in creating a balanced world and universe. And, you know, the last few centuries, we've been fighting for that back. And so now we, for the most part, have equal pay, right? For, at least in the Western world, for the most part, we have equal pay. We can go for the CEO position if we want to. We could start businesses. We can get our own credit cards, which is crazy to think a few decades ago, we couldn't get our own credit cards, right? But I think that there's still a difference between attaining power according to rules that we didn't create, right? Like this sort of patriarchal world that we didn't set up the structures or the systems for. And yes, now we're starting to win in that system. But there's a difference between that and stepping into our own inherent power and leadership and how we do it. And I really believe that we are now entering into a time where we are being called to use our feminine strength in a new way and be the catalyst for change and progress. I won't even like bring up all the crazy things happening in the world and all the men who are pulling all the strings, right? And I feel like this is our time. So I want to ask you, and maybe we won't do breakout groups and we could just have a conversation together, is what does stepping into feminine leadership mean to you, right? Like, and in what areas of your life could you use your voice and energy to inspire change? I do think that, you know, when we say that word feminine too, what I love again about, you know, the stories from Indian mythology, not from even a religious perspective at all, but from Indian mythology is that there are many goddesses and they all show their power in different ways, right? So there may be one goddess who is the loving, compassionate goddess, right? Or there may be one who is like this one Shantadurga that we're talking about, who is, you know, like the mediator and brings people together and resolves, you know, issues. But then there's other goddesses that are extremely strong and are warriors and like even show anger as a means to, you know, to resolve things. And so I think the way that the feminine shows up can be, it doesn't have to be just soft and nice, right? Like maybe the way we think about our mothers or our grandmothers, that kind of femininity, it's a more holistic feminine strength. And I think for each of us, it's like, if we were to lead from that place, what would it feel like? Because it's not the same for everyone, right? What would that feel like if you were to lead from your feminine knowing? I actually have this goddess meditation that I created. It's an 11-minute meditation. I think I gave it to you, Andrea. But I really feel like tapping into the part of you that isn't coming from a control perspective or from a trying to like, you know, keep things all a certain way, but is from more of this like intuitive knowing wisdom, and how that expresses is, again, it's different for everyone.
This has been a really relevant, question, struggle for me, because my entire life, I very much lived in my male. I'm, you know, in engineering and working almost exclusively with men, and actually being afraid of women and going, I don't understand them.
And then transitioning to, what I'm doing now and just totally embracing my feminine empathetic side. And so I've been trying to, there was actually a period where I totally pushed away my male because I just wanted to embrace my female and go into that. And so now I've come back around, and that is the question I've been asking myself is how do we balance like showing who we are, whether, you know, and that can be many things, but for a lot of women, it's the empathetic, the soft, the listener, the coach, the caretaker, the nurturer, and how to bring that into the big world, right? And I think it is just fearlessly being who we are, not being afraid to be empathetic, to be nurturing, but then also to turn around and go, but I expect this, right? Or like whatever it is, right? Just to really embrace that, those both sides of us, not to accept less because we're women and, but to show up as ourselves. So,
yeah, I love that. I think that's it, right? It's like, It's like embracing the part of you, that is that like kind of more traditional feminine, but the owning part of it is probably what we hide more from, right? Is we don't own it. And that's like the self-leadership part. Like that's the part where we say, I'm not going to hold that part of me back. But I'm also not going to make excuses for it. I'm not going to apologize for it. And I think that if we do it together, it may be easier for us to change things, right? If we do that together and we sort of support each other through that. Mithu says, stopping the forced show and being myself has helped me with some of my clients. Yes, I still prepare for every situation, but show up as who I am. I love that. That's so powerful. For me, it's about being in my own authority, no rules, with no conditioning, no emotional and mental charges, equanimity. Yes. Yes, that's it. That's it. All right. That's it for this week's episode. Were you not intrigued by this conversation? Did you not want to just dive right in and add your two cents and share your stories? If that is you, please check out Supernova. Head to allyouare.ca/supernova to learn all about our beautiful community membership that just launched this last fall, and we are already at 60 members. This membership community is for women, professional women over the age of 35 who are ready to step into their next era and make your next years your best years together in community with other authentic, growth-oriented, open-minded, and hearted women. We would love to have you join us and for you to be a part of what is truly a movement for women approaching midlife to take the lead, in our lives, to take the lead in our communities, and to make real change, starting with you. Join us, allyouare.ca/supernova. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear. We need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.